welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we simplify the good life. My name is Brock Dittus on this extra special, extra edition of the podcast.
And I'm Aaron Flores, broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Lloyd District. I don't know if we're actually
right across the freeway in the heart of the bread packing district.
The bread, yeah, I should have said like in the heart of the France Bakery. But then that would imply that we're in the bakery and we're not really.
We are not in the bakery in no way.
In the heart of next to the Franz Bakery.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally, wherever that happens to be for you, with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way. This time a lot.
Yes. Covering bicycling, trains, transit.
Alcohol.
Alcohol. Life hacks. And today, my family is in from Hawaii.
What's better than one Flores? Two Floreses.
Two, three, kind of.
Well,
almost.
Yes.
It's right. Like two and a half two. Floreses.
What do you call a fiance? You're I mean,
I think that's what you call them.
I think you're right. So, would the two of you please introduce yourself to the adoring public?
Sure, sure. My name is Ben Flores, hailing from Oahu, in the city of Honolulu.
Where's Oahu?
It's in Hawaii.
Okay.
The beautiful Oahu state, where it's always sunny.
Yes, and I want to make sure everyone's clear on the fact that you are Aaron Flores' brother.
That's correct. I am Aaron Flores' brother.
Yes. And can you introduce yourself, please?
Sure. I'm Sandy Nita, Ben Flores' other half.
That's, by the way, everybody, that's Hawaiian for all right.
All right.
And that was English for chihu. It's good to have both of you here. Whenever there is a Flores in town, it's always nice to have them in the studio. The only one that has not yet been in the studio is Tito.
That's right. But he's been on the show, like his voice anyways.
That's true. Yeah, we've played his voicemail, but he never comes to Portland. He only goes to Vancouver. So
his loss.
Yeah, I know. But yes, even your mom has been here.
Yeah, oh, Tito, yeah. Even mom.
So, yeah. But we're here to talk about a lot of things. But number one, the thing that brings you to town. Why don't you tell us about that first?
Here to work with one of the local distilleries in Portland to get our brand of the restaurant that I work at to have our own product, you know, an affiliation with that distillery. And that distillery happens to be House Spirits. Their flagship is the Aviation Gin. They're amazing. If you live in Portland, you need to go check them out because they're doing great things.
Yeah, and if you don't live in Portland, you need to go buy a bottle.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And if you don't live in Portland, you need to come to Portland anyway, check them out, and then see how rad this city is.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Oh, and we're also in the studio with Anna.
That's me. Hello. Yeah.
And if you don't know who Anna is, we'll tell you later.
Then you haven't been listening enough.
You haven't been paying attention. So, yeah. Before we delve into the details, what do we have on the table here?
We got on the table three bottles. It's a threefer today.
Yeah. Threefer Wednesday.
Yep.
Right after two for Tuesday, right?
That's right. For Aaron today, respect the non-alcoholic, we got a pineapple soda from the people over at Wailua Soda that's made with local sugarcane, local pineapple. It's awesome, delicious, gives you cavities, and we love it.
It's honestly, it's about as close to the pineapple can drippings as I ever had.
Ooh,
that a soda could be.
I love those.
Yeah. No, like if you notice, this hasn't lasted very long. I'm like debating whether or not to just like exit and, oh wait, my bags are here.
Oh yeah.
So I might grab an extra bottle out of my bag.
There we go. Oh, how many bottles are there?
Four.
Ooh, nice.
Well, this is, yeah, including this was four. Yeah.
Right. Did you bring this from Hawaii?
We did, yeah.
Nice.
Special treat.
Yep. That's right. We listened to the Sprocket a bit, and we know that you guys like to start off with some beverage, so we wanted to bring something from the islands for you guys.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, for sure.
And because you listen to the show, you know he doesn't drink.
Well,
yes, because he listens to the show.
It wasn't the 35 years I grew up with this guy. That didn't teach me a thing.
Yeah. So what else do we have here?
We also have a couple beers, one from Big Island Brew House on Big Island. This is done by Tommy Kearns. It's his Golden Sabbath, which is an amazing Belgian style done with a little bit of Hawaiian honey. We also have from the island of Oahu, out of Lanikai Brewery, out of Kailua, their Moku Imperial IPA, which is done with local pikake flour, which is very floral. It gives great balance to all that big imperial hop, yeah?
Yeah.
So,
and it seems like both of these feature very localized flavors from the island.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's fantastic.
I would start you with this one.
Oh, thank you. All right, sounds good. Well, I trust you because I know you know what you're talking about.
That's what I'm told.
Yeah. So you're a mixologist.
It's loosely translated. I don't really like that term.
Okay.
I've told people, like, yeah, I guess his title is mixologist, but I didn't even really know that was, like, an actual thing. I thought it was just, like, what they called Tom Cruise in Cocktail.
By the way, wow, this is good.
Isn't that nice?
This is really good. You said the floral.
Right.
Like, I have a head cold, and I'm still getting it. So this is great.
Big fan.
Good work.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I mean, I shouldn't give thanks. I mean, or take thanks. I didn't make it.
You acquired it.
Yeah.
And you ported it from here to there.
Yeah.
Or there to here, rather. Yeah. So it just brings up a thing I was wondering about the soda earlier. Did you bring these, like, by plane?
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
Montana and then to Portland.
It's way to Portland.
Mm-hmm. Really? Really?
Yeah.
So you put it in packed luggage, like checked luggage? Or?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, because you can't bring it in a carry-on, right?
No, you can't take it on a carry-on, but I've become a professional at packing two suitcases, one full of clothes, the other one full of my own personal bar that I bring with me.
There you go. Yeah. That's how it ought to be.
Well, some people say it's a problem. I think, well, I'm a professional. So.
I mean, if you have a problem with making money, then yes.
Right. Chefs bring their own knives. I bring my own booze.
There you go. And you can't argue with that. I mean, you can't find some things in certain places.
That's right. Yeah, I know what I'm getting into.
I would imagine both of these Hawaiian beers you would not find in Missoula, Montana.
No, you cannot. It's very limited distribution. The Lanikai is very small. I think they're only island-wide. I think the Big Island Brew House might be distributing coming up to the west. But they're both very small production. So.
Okay. Yeah. It's very good. And this... right. Yeah. You got... Anna needs a taste of some of this, too.
One of us still drinks.
I noticed that the bottle there said that 8.1 alcohol by volume. So that's...
Yeah.
I will say this smells really good.
It does. I'm resisting what I could say right now. I feel like it would be in poor taste to say what was in my mind.
Oh,
so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it was, I'm glad you're
don't
not
you want some
the
of
right
this?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're going to pour that on the mic?
Yes.
That'd be awesome. I mean, like, in front of the mic, so people can hear it being poured into the cup. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Oh, I thought just so he could smell it the rest of the episode.
Right, yes, and to kind of, like, open up some of the aromas.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
You got to swirl it around a bit. Check the legs. Make sure it's on. I love that anything that applies to wine tasting has, like, in no way does it apply to beer. There's absolutely no way that you can make the two worlds collide. You were saying earlier that the place that you work at, you're the beverage manager. Is that what you called yourself?
No.
Oh, sorry.
I prefer the term director just so I don't have to manage
director,
anything.
Director, I'm sorry. That's okay, yeah. You are the beverage director. So, yes. But you have a wine guy there, too.
We do. We
and
also
it's the
have
only thing you
a wine
don't
director.
Direct.
Yep. I'm in charge of all things beverage except for wine.
Okay.
Yeah. Our wine director is amazing. He's very talented at what he does, and I'm so glad that he is taking reins of that program and running with it.
Yeah. So what do you direct? Tell us a little bit about what you do.
I put stuff in a glass and put it in front of people. They smile, and I get stoked about it. Yeah.
Sandy, you can confirm this is what he does?
Oh, yes.
You've seen
all
it happen.
Of the above.
Yeah. Nice. What's your perspective on what he does? Like, do you see this? Do you see it being successful?
Of course, always. Ben works very hard in perfecting his craft. He definitely has a talent and a nose for it. He can smell all the different aromas.
The Flores.
It's the Flores nose.
Yep.
Doesn't lead you wrong.
It's good to know, yeah.
House makes all his bitters. The bar even has their own ice program. So he literally hand carves the ice. He molds it and hand carves it all.
So this is for mixed drinks?
Whatever
cocktails require that type of ice, yeah.
Is this water ice or are you freezing other things as well?
Nope, just regular ice.
Okay.
You know.
So what, because I'm not a cocktail guy. I don't spend a lot of time buying mixed drinks, although I would buy them from you in a heartbeat. Also, you're wearing a vest, which means it's all, probably another Flores trait, right?
Duh.
But it also
we have different battle vests.
His battle jacket needs more patches.
Well, we can help you with that.
I wear all my patches on my liver.
Hey, oh.
It's very spotted. You should see the decorations.
That is a battle jacket. So you've got this. Tell me more about the ice. I'm curious. Like, what do you need to do? Because I'm the kind of guy who pours water into a cube form or, like, lets the machine do it.
Put it in a mold of some kind.
Do you have an ice pick?
Yeah, we do.
That thing.
So
okay.
A lot of... Sometimes you run into bartenders like, well, I mean, I'll tell you kind of how to do the ice. I got no problem telling anyone how to do the ice because
it's such a commitment. Like, is this really like a trade secret? Like, people want to keep...
Yeah, people will, but you don't need to because once you realize what you go through, you'll give it up real quick.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what we do is we put tap water that we take the aerator off of the faucet. It's not triple... distilled, it's not boiled, and all those are just gimmicks. You put it into an igloo cooler because it's an insulated vessel, and it freezes a lot different when you do it that way.
Ah.
And then we stack them in threes and rotate them, and every 3 days you got to pull one out. You knock off this little bit of bubble, pour out the water that's on the bottom, make it into a nice perfect big block, and it's clear, it's wonderful. And then use a hacksaw, and we also use a very sharp professional Japanese noodle knife to finish it off, and you cut it down into smaller blocks. And people get a kick out of it. You know, when we start the bartender training on the ice program, they're like, oh, yeah, this is really fun. It's kind of tiring, but it's an art. But then you get, like, 4 months into it, and, like, it's your ice day. Like, oh,
like
man.
Fucking ice. I can't take this.
Are you kidding me?
So, but what is, like, what is the advantage of doing that versus, like, you know,
there's no impurities. That it's a crystal clear block that when you put it in the glass, whatever liquid is in there, it just becomes this prism to show all the colors. It melts a lot slower. So if you have a real dark drink with that in there, it just kind of disappears. You have a bright drink in there, it just shines. It's the aesthetics, and it's functional, you know, and it's part of the experience.
So that helps people to kind of appreciate the product more, just like looking at how the light plays. So you really you are looking at the legs of the drink or something.
Yeah, I guess.
But what would you call it?
Sexy.
There you go. As a professional.
You are looking at the legs. Oh, man.
So that sounds awesome. But yeah, just... carving up pure ice, and again, not machine-made, no impurities.
Right.
And impurities would include, like, sediment or bubbles or...
Bubbles and, like, fogginess.
Right, because the fogginess would come from any air that's been trapped.
Absolutely.
Right? Okay,
absolutely.
So you're distilling all the air out and making this pure ice block.
Yep.
That's pretty awesome.
It's great.
And use a hacksaw.
Yeah.
There you go. Is it? This is all hand-powered, I'm assuming? You don't have a...
Of course, you can't use anything that's automatic because that's going to have lubricant in it. This is
right,
a food product.
Right.
So
makes sense now that you put it that way. Okay, nice.
All the tools have to be cleaned after and before every use.
Yeah, that makes sense. So how did you learn to mix drinks?
Shoot, that's a loaded question.
Or tell us about your journey to where you are today.
In middle school, I... Mom left for the weekend.
You can start wherever you want.
I've just always had a passion for beverage, a passion for food, and I found myself in a position where I could bring the two together and make a career out of it. And so I had a variety of mentors along the way, and they just taught me so much and a whole lot of self-education. A lot of research, air quotations. Yeah.
Yes. Well, it's one thing, too. I was thinking that, like, if you're just mixing stuff together, like a lot of people, I'm sure, look at mixing drinks and they say, oh, I could do that. I could throw some stuff in here. But you're going for a very specific thing. You were talking about the rigor that you put your staff through.
Right.
When you're introducing a new drink or when you're trying to figure out, like, teaching them how to make one. It's figuring out, like, what are the very subtle nuances of this drink?
I would say that the way that we approach beverage, no matter what it is, be it a non-alcoholic drink, be it a cocktail, be it a beer, anything that we put in our program, we approach it as a horizontal line. It's linear. It needs to have a start. It needs to have a finish. There's nothing that branches out at any point. There's never one flavor that, you know, it just goes continuous. And you put the drink down, and it's still going, and it finishes. And if at any point something sticks out, then we got to tweak it.
Okay.
So by, you know, having that be the base of our program, we're able to come up with stuff that, yeah, anybody could do it, but not anybody can do it the way that we do it.
Gotcha. Yeah. Nice. Do you have any signature drinks at your location?
Oh, we got tons. Tons. Our menu is continually changing, as does our food menu. So we do it seasonally. When the chefs bring on a different dish, we bring on a different cocktail to accompany it. Yeah.
Nice. How do you decide what pairs well with what?
That goes right back to that research.
Just
a whole lot of research.
Yeah. Eat a lot, drink a lot.
Yep.
There we go.
Yeah.
Nice. So tell us a little bit about the project that you're working on here in Portland.
Again, so House Spirits and myself are trying to do a product, most likely going to be a rum. And they do theirs a lot different. They do a pot still rum. And making a rum in Portland is just not economical. You guys don't have any sugarcane fields as far as I know.
It's true.
Right?
It's true.
I think I got some in a pot next to my window.
No, bro, that's bamboos. That's bamboos.
It used to be yogurt.
Now they're chanterelles.
That's how you know you left it out too long.
I love you. Have I said that? I love you.
So this is how did you get connected with this distillery in the first place?
Love their product, and we decided to take their gin, their aviation gin that they make, and barrel age it. For a few days just to get the right flavor, because we were coming up with a cocktail that's very common called the Aviation, which is gin, creme de voilée, Luxardo, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right, you got to break those down for me. What's creme de voilée?
It's a lavender-flavored liqueur.
Mm.
Yeah, and Luxardo Maraschino is Italian Maraschino-flavored liqueur. But we wanted to do something different because...
I don't think I've had Maraschino either.
Yeah.
What is that?
Maraschino.
Oh. You break it down.
Gotcha.
Getting fancy.
Like them cherries.
Like them cherries.
Okay.
But we didn't want to, if you look at creme de voilée, you know, it has like blue number 87, whatever and stuff. And so we wanted to do something that was not introducing those chemicals to our guests. So we made our own lavender tincture using local and domestic lavender to get that lavender flavor. But then in order to pair with that, we realized let's barrel age this gin and soften this flavor and bring out some of those baking spices by the influence of the wood.
Yeah.
So then they got wind of what we were doing and they're like, hey, we'll supply you with barrels if you
really
keep this going.
Really?
Yeah, we love your product. You send us barrels, you're on our menu every day. So, and that one sells like hotcakes. It's a great cocktail.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so that's how we got connected with them. Great relationship. They're fantastic people to work with. They're really fun, and yeah.
I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah,
I was gonna say let's go back to the rum because I was kind of rude and cracking wise here, but so House Spirits is doing what was the process again? What kind of rum?
They do a pot still rum, which is a little different than a lot of places. But again, by doing it in Portland, it makes it really unique because most of your rum comes from plantations in, you know, like Martinique, anywhere that's growing rum. Shoot, we have our own. We have multiple ones because we got choke, sugarcane. But so for them to do it, you know, it's really impressive. And if you can find it, I'm pretty sure they have it at their tasting room. Think that might be the only place. You should definitely get on it.
Yeah. I was just thinking about when I was in Boston hanging out with our friend Josh Zissen from Bike Safe Boston and other projects that he's been working on. He took me to this cool bar, and it was one of these cool places that makes their own cocktails, their own, you know, a lot of interesting flavors being put together. And he introduces me to the bartender. The bartender says, well, what do you like? And I made the cardinal mistake of saying, do you have anything with Jägermeister?
Oh.
But he was able to craft something with a licorice sort of tincture.
Sure.
And made a flavor that was very close to what I was looking for.
Right on.
So,
good
yeah.
man.
And
good
I think he probably, you know, in that experience opened me up to the idea that, you know, that stuff tastes good, but it's made of shit. And there are other ways to achieve those flavors if you know where to look. So.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm not here to plug anyone by any means, but if you enjoy Jägermeister and you don't want that sugary hangover, everybody else knows you drink Fernet Branca.
Is that it?
Absolute.
All right.
Everybody knows this,
Brock. Everybody knows, Brock.
I'm writing this down right now.
I brought the wrong bottles.
Fernet.
Yeah, Fernet Branca.
Okay. All right. Sounds like a plan. Very good. You know, the worst thing I ever saw was not one, but two of those yellow recycling bins that you put your glass into.
Full of Jaeger?
Full of empty Jaeger bottles.
Wow.
How does that happen?
College?
I guess.
High school.
It was nowhere near a college. And nowhere near a high school. Yeah, but I digress.
Obviously, I'm not the one who drinks.
So, when you're done with this project, you go back to Hawaii. What's the next thing on your docket as far as beverages are concerned?
Let's see. Back to work on a Monday. Got to do the ordering. It's just like back to the grind as normal.
Okay, I don't mean to make you think about it now.
That's all right.
You're still traveling.
You never get away from it. You never get away from
no,
it.
No, you were doing some ordering like from the table of dinner, like while we were having dinner.
Yeah, the 3-hour time change makes a big difference.
Yeah, no kidding. It's only 3 hours, right?
Right now it is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, but it depends on, yeah.
Three?
It's four?
Yeah.
Daylight savings time?
Yeah, you guys switch your clocks around.
Oh, and you don't.
No way.
No.
That's a good idea. Kind of wish Oregon would get with the program on that one. I know Arizona doesn't, but I'd rather be in Hawaii.
Too confusing.
Yeah.
I just keep it at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Hawaiian time.
Yeah. Seriously. Just stay on Hawaiian time the
well,
whole time.
It's also easier over there, like, because there isn't necessarily at least a theoretical argument for changing your clocks. Like, you guys are so close to the equator, like, there isn't that variance, the seasonal variance of, like, daytime.
Oh, yeah, you know? Like when the planet wobbles, it doesn't affect you.
No.
Nope.
And for that, we are also jealous.
Yep.
Yeah. So I asked this before we started recording, but really, you're not tired of people being jealous of Hawaii?
No,
not at all.
Okay. Are you?
No. Born and raised there. You know, it's a beautiful home, always.
There we go. All right. Well, I guess that means I know where I need to travel next.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
By the way, I was just thinking about travel and people being in Hawaii. You know, in a hypothetical situation, one brother might join another brother somewhere for a special occasion.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
in a hypothetical situation.
Right, right.
So, Ben, who's going to tend the bar at your wedding?
Oh,
that's
shit.
A great question.
You can't tend your own bar.
No.
Is there anyone that's like, do you have a, like, what is it, a protege? Or like a, you know?
A wingman?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that, but I know like many people who are highly qualified to pour whiskey, beer, and wine all night.
There we go, yeah. Because you're going to be drinking it, so you can't serve it.
Right.
Or do they have that rule there?
No, not at all.
Really?
No, well, I mean, they do, but not at weddings.
Not at weddings, of course. It's a private event. Yeah.
There may be a bottle of single malt scotch in my hand at some point.
There you go.
Just hanging out with a bottle.
Yeah.
Everybody's looking at it kind of jealous. Very good. Well, Aaron, you wanted to talk a little bit about transportation,
oh,
right?
Yeah. So...
And while we do you mind if I, I'm going to finish up this drink here. Can
yeah,
I try the Golden
one.
Sabbath?
You got to try the Golden Sabbath.
And the Golden Sabbath is the one with honey, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So, well, let me start off. You had your first, air quotes, transit adventure here in Portland today. And we had talked earlier, like you mentioned, transit over here, at least the way it's presented on the website, a little confusing.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. So at dinner, I showed Aaron our transit website, which was awesome. Because
it's It's user friendly.
Super user friendly. So we get on, I forget whatever website it is.
TriMet.org.
Yeah.
To go from point A to point B, and like step one was three steps in itself, like counting my steps. And Sandy and I were looking at it like, what the heck? How are we going to pass
walk
step one? We can't even pass step
feet,
one.
Point
there's
whatever
six
miles.
Steps to this one, yeah. And two transfers. Mm-hmm. No way.
And then at least another mile of walking. So
right. Well, and everything is more spread out here for, you know, compared to us too. Whereas, like, you take a look at our app, you got like cartoon chick with one flower in her hair driving the bus, and it's like, I get you there. No worries.
No. There you go.
It's a very user-friendly interface.
Super user-friendly.
Well, and there's not, on TriMet, when you like just type in an address, there's no map. It just lists, it just gives you like your 25 steps.
Yeah.
It doesn't, mm-hmm. So.
Not, you have
you,
to click on it to
yeah,
find the map.
To find,
you literally
yes,
have
yeah.
to open up Google yeah. Maps as a secondary process.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I always use Google Maps because it's like.
I tend to go there first. Yeah.
Yes.
I like it better.
You're a very advanced culture in Portland.
We do our
it's
best.
It's highly impressive. Wow.
But, so yeah, tell me a little bit about, because you use the bus for a
right.
number of years.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about, like, transit in Hawaii, ease of use, barriers to use, things like that.
Ooh. I'm going to start by diverting this to Sandy, because Sandy used the mass transit. She used the bus, as we call it, the bus.
The bus.
The bus. That's the name
we've
of our
got, app. We've got TriMet. Where does that come from? I don't know. They've got the bus. That's the yeah. name of their company.
Well, it's way sexier, yeah, because we have the Tri-County Metropolitan Transit Service or something like that.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
It's
well, at least now I know where it came from.
It serves three counties.
But Sandy, she used the bus, you know, all growing up, going to school and whatnot. So, I mean, she can tell you really, like, the in-depth how it works.
All well, right.
It was my multi-million dollar car starting
yeah.
about... middle school. It's overall, it's efficient. You know, it gets you to point A and B. We've expanded our bus lines to accommodate on the freeways, which is good. So
that wasn't always the case.
You know, I can't tell you personally what year they expanded the bus system, but it was already expanded by the time I was riding the bus, which made life a lot easier. Although traffic in Hawaii can get a little crazy. Like growing up, I'd have to wake up 4:30 in the morning and head straight into about 2 hours of traffic. And that's on the freeway.
Yikes.
And 2 hours back home in traffic.
And this is on the bus. Like, and there's no priority lanes or anything. They're just sitting there with everybody else.
We
just
do have
going
a
to
zip
school.
Lane, which the buses are allowed to, you know, transport on. So we have... We're kind of trying to, you know, always improve on our transportation system, but we always run into flaws because, you know, of course, our population in Hawaii is always expanding. So, yeah.
That's very interesting. So you were saying you got up at 4:30?
4:30 every morning.
Yeah, and so how long was the actual ride, including, like, waiting time and all that?
Wait time, I'd say, let's see, 5:30... I got on my bus and got to school before 8.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a long time.
It's a long time on the bus.
So how did you keep yourself occupied or entertained, or did you nap?
A lot of napping, a lot of music, a lot of people watching.
Yeah. Yeah. People watching on transit is fascinating to
it's
me.
Always.
Just because there's so many people on transit, and there are so many different kinds. It's like wherever you are, you get a cross-section of what humanity is like in that particular area.
Do you have, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Do you have any memories from your time using transit that, like, anything that stuck out to you? Like, oh, I've never seen a person like this before, or this is an unusual occurrence.
I think initially I was a little taken back, but, you know, as you get used to riding the bus or the transit system, it's like an everyday thing. You're like, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Did you have, like, the people who just, like to talk for however long they're on the bus?
You know, I guess coming from my location, all the way from Waianae, it's a far drive. It's all the way on the west side of the island. And going towards central Honolulu, of course, I think most of us were on the same agenda. Like, well, I got to be at work or school at 8 or so forth. I might as well take this time to sleep and catch up on these. Yeah.
Okay, so you weren't next to the person who likes to talk.
Oh, no.
Okay. Because I'm always curious about, like, I feel like bus drivers, transit bus drivers must have some sort of nickname for, like, the person who sits right up front and is like, yeah, let me tell you about the newest transit developments. Like, there's, like, some guy, or not even about transit, just, like, someone who just, like, has an endless supply of conversational grist, and they're ready to, like, just continue spooling it off to whoever will listen. And those are the, you know, God bless them, but those are the kinds of people you find on transit sometimes, and not everyone wants to talk as much as they do. And that, to me, is interesting. It's an interesting social dynamic that you don't get in other parts of life as much.
That's true.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. There are times that I'll put in my headphones and nothing is playing.
Yep.
Not a thing is playing, but I'll put them in because they know that, oh, he's out.
It's a visual signifier of your desire for solitude.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Sandy, do you have any naps for or tips for napping on the bus? Do you have any naps for tipping on the bus as well?
You never tip on the bus.
Never tip on the bus.
Never tip the bus.
Unless it's your bus driver.
If you wanted to like catch some Z's, get some rest on the bus, like what's the best way to do that?
Always window seat.
Okay. Something to lean on?
Sometimes you can find grandma who's going to be nice and friendly to you. You can kind of lean on her shoulder a little bit. Get cozy, cuddle up. Maybe share a blanket or two.
Did you find somebody like that?
No, actually. Okay. Well, maybe occasionally, one or two times.
You inadvertently find them when you wake up on their shoulder.
Like, oh, yeah, they did not push me away.
To find it. Yeah.
That's great. Well, I'm imagining in Hawaii you have good views from the bus as well.
Yes, to a degree. On rush hour times, not so pretty, but, you know, on the off rush hour times, you know, we have our sunsets that are always beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Never get tired of them.
That sounds nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everybody that hears this and then travels to Hawaii is like, man, I can't wait to ride this bus.
Seriously.
This bus is going to be great.
What's the fare these days?
What's that?
How much does it cost?
$250, same as here.
Oh, it's not bad.
Yeah, not bad at all.
Not bad.
And you get one transfer.
Ooh.
So that's huge.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And does this, so how far does this system stretch? Like how much ground does it cover?
It stretches island-wide.
Okay. Yeah. So all the way around.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, that gives me hope. I remember Adele and I were talking about traveling next time we had time off. We were thinking about going to Hawaii and camping there, maybe doing some hiking or whatever. I think it was on Maui. I forget now which island we were looking at. But we were looking into the options of like taking our stuff with us and going on the bus to access like a trailer, get close to a trailhead or something like that. And the transit website said no backpacks will be permitted on the bus.
Yeah, that's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So not your island, I'm sure, but some other island.
You can get away with it on Kauai. And like now, if anybody in Kauai heard this, they're instantly putting through legislature to make sure that never happens.
Wow. No backpacks on the bus.
Yeah. Because we backpack in Kauai once a year.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of times we have to take the bus all the way to a certain point.
Okay.
And then, you know, just hike it in the rest.
I think we were looking at Kauai. It was the kind of like the northeastern or northwestern side. There's like a famous trail there with some cliffs and stuff and all that. Am I thinking of the right island?
Yep.
Were you thinking Napali? Coast?
Are you thinking Napali?
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
That's true. Right up on Kauai.
Okay. And that was the one where they said, yeah, no backpacks on the bus. And we're like, well, that shoots down all of our plans.
And you should never, ever bring a backpack on the bus in Kauai.
Is that right? For what reason? Because that's what
they
say.
Yeah, is there some stigma against like backpackers and campers?
No, because I go there once a year, and if everybody else goes there and brings their backpack, then I can't bring mine.
Okay, so we should let you have your thing. And just leave it at that.
Let me be selfish for 1 minute.
I know, right? Serious, that makes sense to me. Yeah. That's how I feel about people with all their coffee and everything.
With all their coffee.
Yeah, don't bring your fancy coffee around me. Yeah. where do you go hiking?
We do the Napali Trail once a year.
Okay.
And go back into this valley called Kalalau. But you got to get your permits and you earn it. Uh-huh. That's for sure.
Is it a high demand location?
Yeah.
It's gotten busy over the years.
It's definitely gotten more busy.
It's definitely a long and challenging hike in a degree where it's 11 miles, you know, so you definitely want to make sure you go bright and early. If not, you're going to roast like a chicken.
Yeah, no kidding.
But it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's terrible. No one should ever go.
That's right.
You know what you should do? You should go hike the shore of Waikiki. That is pristine. Put your backpack on and enjoy.
You heard it first from the source. Locals recommend.
Locals recommend backpacking through Ala Moana Mall. You want a real adventure?
That's right.
Queens Beach. Queens Beach.
So, Aaron, you lived in Hawaii for a while.
Yes, different island. I was on the Big Island.
Okay.
In my opinion, the best island.
Is that right? Fight. Yeah. Fight.
Not going to fight.
Ben just shrugs. I lived there for almost 2 years.
Okay.
It's a very outdoorsy kind of island. Probably, I didn't do much camping over there, but it probably planted the seeds that, like, got me really into bike camping over here.
Going outside.
Yeah, being outside, spending time outside. There is a lot more, what do I want to say, like, geographical zones on the Big Island. That's not to put down any of the other islands.
I'm just going to do
by virtue of it being.
No, we don't have any. It's just a flat plane. It's awful.
No one should ever go.
Ever. Like, everybody should go to Big Island and hang out.
Wait,
in
no.
Hilo.
I mean, I don't know. I don't live there anymore.
You guys are going to have so many comments. I don't think anybody in Hawaii listens to this, but if they do,
they're in for a surprise.
One listener wrote in once from Kona side.
That's right. Yeah. And a recommendation to talk to somebody
that we never
ended up getting in touch with.
I was able to follow through with that.
We need to have
the fancy side.
It's the fancy side of Big Island.
Okay, that's why it didn't happen.
My landlord lives on the Kona side. That's how I know this.
That's right. Yeah. I probably worked on his house.
Sandy, I'm curious from your perspective. You grew up on the island, and so coming to the mainland, what did you have? Were there any like moments where you had a similar shock and awe that people have when they usually go to Hawaii from the mainland?
Not too much. Well, it's quite interesting to see, like, back home in Hawaii, you can definitely tell a difference of people who are traveling. You know, you got your tourists who are wearing the brightly colored Aloha shirts or board shorts that stick out like a sore thumb.
Right.
It's all right. You know, they're enjoying the island. My main thing is, as long as they, you know, treat it with respect, don't litter on the beaches or the hikes, you know, keep it the way it is. And I'm all right with that.
Okay, yeah. But when you came and you traveled around through various parts of continental U.S., like, could you identify with people going, oh, it's Hawaii?
I could, yeah. You have a few that are, you know, they have their own perceptions on Hawaii. And but, you know, you meet a few fellow Hawaii people as well on the continental U.S. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always good. You kind of find spurts of home here and there in different places.
Nice. Where did that happen?
Actually, here in Oregon.
Really?
Yes. Actually, in the hotel that we're staying at. The
guys, that's
actually
right.
From Aiea.
We run into the bartender. Is from Aiea.
We're trying to literally figure out. We're on their phones trying to figure out the TriMet. And the bartender is just talking story with us. So he asked us where we're from. So we're like, oh, yeah, we're from Oahu. And then we asked him, where are you from? He's like, Aiea. We're like, what?
No kidding. Yeah.
True story.
That's fantastic. Very cool. I was thinking earlier, actually, about, you guys are getting married. So congratulations.
Yay! Thank you.
But you happen to meet a friend of ours, Eric Iverson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us about Eric.
Yeah. Is Hawaii Eric much different than Portland Eric?
Well, I don't know. I haven't met Portland Eric. I'm told that we get to hang out either Friday or Saturday. He's off doing another job. But Hawaii Eric is rad. Super rad.
And Eric Iverson, for anybody who's not aware, is the guy who he's in charge of Grilled by Bike.
Grilled by Bike.
Riding on Fire with the whole like bike-based cookout
JP
thing.
JP gosh, I can't believe I forget his Eilif. Thank you.
Yeah. Yes. And I think Ross gets to kind of...
And Ross,
yeah. I don't know if Ross doesn't have a grill bike, though, does he? But he's there.
He's there.
He's there with it. But yeah, and Eric can often be found at popular drinking locations around Portland because he's...
giving tours?
Yes.
Yes. I'm looking forward to mine.
I know.
I told him. I was
we
like,
we need
hey,
to get you to base camp, and we need to get Ross and Eric to give you a tour.
That's right, yeah.
Can't wait. I said, hey, man, I got Friday and Saturday off, and that's when it's Ben Flores versus Portland. We'll see who wins. It's a battle royale.
I think you're going to win.
Oh, yeah. But I've been
again,
training.
So Hawaii Eric, what's Hawaii Eric like?
Hawaii Eric is great. There's a lot of drinking and laughing. There's karaoke involved. Oh, man, is there karaoke involved?
What does that mean?
That's Hawaiian for karaoke.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot of karaoke
involved. Oh, thank
you.
Now I understand.
Got it. Yeah, just he's fun. He fits in for sure.
No, he's the guy. Well, and I'm not sure if this fits in or not, but he has a bunch of amazing tropical shirts.
Yeah, he's got a lot of cabana wear.
He just bring out his flamingo shirt, which we loved.
Right. Well, it's drunk flamingos doing weird things, right? There's like a flamingo in a trash can and a flamingo like, you know, like passed out in front of the television. And
I call it Tuesday.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. One shirt for each day of the week.
Yeah. So I'm glad you guys got to connect over there. So I hope that you also get connect over here.
Yeah, it was a real treat. Aaron had told me, hey, one of my friends is going to be over there. Here's his number.
I thought I'd like, you know, hey, you know, make him a drink, show him around like your bar, whatever. I didn't know. I was going to start this beautiful friendship that spanned an ocean.
Spanned an ocean.
Miles away.
Yeah.
Well, so I think we're probably about to wrap up and get ourselves to bed, right? But what are some things that people should know? What are some things people should know if they're going to Hawaii? Number one, go to your place.
Number one, go to my place. Get drinks.
How do they find it?
We're in a very semi-small neighborhood called Kaimuki. The restaurant's name is 12th Avenue Grill. It's great food, locally sourced, crazy good drinks, amazing people sit at the bar. Sandy already hit on it. There's the big three on the island. Be respectful, be polite, be humble, and you'll be just fine.
Nice. Very good. Aaron, what else do we need to ask them about?
Skateboarding.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So in Hawaii, surfing is a big deal, obviously, right?
Right.
And the professional surfers all do the big waves and whatnot. But my claim to fame was always I'm not much of a surfer. I'm really bad at it. However, I longboard Honolulu, which I would imagine being much like the king of division.
I think so.
Like a master.
Yeah, well, without all the technology and or gear.
You're the king of Queens Beach.
Longboarding through Honolulu is a real treat because, I mean, you can drop in on 30-foot waves and 40-foot waves and get blasted sometimes, but you can also get yourself on a longboard and try to negotiate traffic or even just try to cross a crosswalk when it's even your turn. That's
fun.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But, like, what is the legality around it? Like, is there... Because, like, for example, biking in Portland is a pretty big deal to the point where, like, there's legal protections for people who bike on the roads. There's bike lanes. There's, you know, the bike law, the Oregon State bike law. Yeah, is there anything similar to that, or is it just, like, Wild West?
It's the Wild West, man. I would never ride a bike in Honolulu. It's just... scary.
But you would skateboard.
Oh, totes.
And what do you see the difference being between the two being?
Because the skateboard can be on the sidewalk when one's available, you know, and it's usually available, but the bikes, you're on the road, and the Trivers, they don't even care about the bikes. Yeah. It is not a good place to bike. It's okay. Scary.
And that's not just tourist traffic.
No, that's no. local
that's
traffic.
That's local traffic.
For okay. sure.
We gotcha. We do have areas, you know, on island that we have, you know, established bike lanes. We're currently working on it, always improving. The state definitely has a lot to work on.
Yeah, it's not easy being a bike rider in Honolulu. I had a friend who did it for a while, and he was very avid about it and in great health and whatnot, but every other day he would come in with a story about, man, I got cut off. And even when I moped to and from work, there's multiple times that I'm like kicking a car and its gas tank or whatnot because it's coming over on
yeah.
me. And, yeah. Terrible.
Yikes. That sounds exciting, but
it's
you have to.
It's so fun.
You have to get ready for it, right?
It'll be the ride of your life.
No kidding. Yeah.
Who needs to skydive when you can try to do transportation in Oahu other than car?
That's fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, this has
been
a treat.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Welcome to Oregon. I good luck with the collaboration with House Spirits.
Thank you.
Yeah. And again, the name of your bar is 12th Street Grill.
12th Ave.
Whoa, whoops.
Boom!
I'm so sorry. Let's do that again. Hang on.
All right.
And the name of your bar is 12th Avenue Grill.
Jee-hoo!
that's Hawaiian for that's correct.
Yes, and
which
that's
is
correct.
English for
we love you all, and thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
You.
All right, we're gonna do credits on this one.
Yeah, I would need to pull them up real quick.
Let's do that. Okay. We need to turn the monitor on.
I think. No, don't worry about it. I got it, guys.
You got it.
I'm gonna take it from here.
Just turn the monitor on, Aaron.
We'd like to thank the guy that made this lamp. This unicorn statue is amazing. I'm really excited that you have two different books from Shel Silverstein. Big ups. How long are these credits?
Oh, it's gonna keep on going.
Keep on going. Yeah, yeah. We'd like to thank our sponsors, all the guys and girls that wear shirts.
Seriously. Especially the guys.
Yeah.
We appreciate that.
Shoemakers, cobblers, they mm-hmm. call them.
Yeah, and those yep. who repair shoes.
Yep. And other cobblers like peach cobbler.
That's right. Thank oh, you. Yeah, yeah. And blackberry cobbler.
Yeah, blackberry yeah, cobbler. Thank
amazing.
You for doing that. And screen doors.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
they're
yeah.
totally underrated.
Best southern dinner in
right?
Oregon. No, 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 hands down. Yeah.
Oh, the wait. No, I didn't long. Mean the restaurant.
The lines. Yeah. Screen doors in general?
No, I just meant screen doors.
Okay. Especially yeah. screen doors that you run
they're
through
so
as a kid.
So nice in the spring because it's not quite going to be cold.
That's right.
You
but
know?
You don't like flies or mosquitoes.
You just open that storm door, let it in. Did you
right.
do it?
So I'm pulling up the credits on my machine here.
Fabulous.
I thought we just did them.
And also, thanks to the Beer Mongers, the Southeast Division and 12th, right here in Portland,
yeah,
Oregon.
Yeah, even though we didn't drink their product tonight.
That's right. But,
sorry, Beer Mongers.
But those
they
folks.
Still
yeah,
awesome.
You guys should go because it's a cool spot. And these sorts of, the Big Island Brew House deserves some representation there.
Big
so
ups,
hopefully
absolutely.
Someday, yeah.
Absolutely.
But the Beer Mongers, bottles from far and wide. Always a seat for you. A big stick hanging from the ceiling. All right. here are the other credits.
It's not a euphemism for anything.
No, it's a big stick. It's a really big
really
stick.
Just a big
one
stick
piece away.
Hanging from the ceiling. Yeah. Our website is thesprocketpodcast.com.
That's right. Call or email to us at thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com.
Email or call or text to 503-847-9774.
I'm doing this from memory. Thanks to who?
Ryan J. Lane
for
our
theme
music.
That's right. And Hurt Bird for our headline sounder.
And you can also Twitter @SprocketPodcast or Instagram as
or
well.
Facebook or whatever.
Yes. Marcus Norman, thank you for our graphic design.
It's a good logo.
And thanks to sustaining donors Logan Smith, Johnny K, Shadowfoot.
I'm so appreciative for
go.
All of these. But and then Katharina Millamgard, Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson,
Ethan Georgie, Justin Martin, Eric Iverson.
Eric Iverson, the one and the only. Cameron
Eric
Lee,
Iverson.
Richard Wazensky, Tim Mooney.
Orange and Purple, Glenn Kubish, Jim Gooden, Eric Wise, Doug Cohen Miller.
Todd Parker, Chris Gonzalez, Dan Gebhardt.
Zoe Campagna, Dave Knows, Chris Smith,
Christy Kaster, Caleb Jenkinson, J.P. Cooley,
Peanut Butter Jar Matt, Patrick Archain, Sebastian Poole, Don't spit up!
Marco Lowe, Rich Otterstrom, Andrew in Colorado,
John, or Drew the Welder, Anna, Krista.
Anna's right there.
Oh,
hey,
yeah.
Thanks.
Hey, thanks, Anna.
Thank you. Thanks, Anna.
Big hug. John Wasserman, Andre Johnson, the King of Division. He's right there.
Yay!
All right.
Josh Sisson, Richard G., Guthrie Straw.
Josh, thanks for getting me off of Jägermeister. Brandon Shelby, Campsite, Aaron Green, who helped me build a bed last night. He's
really?
The coolest, yeah.
What a nice guy.
Actually helped me build two beds.
I got a project for you, Aaron. Mac Nurse David, Catherine Minchin, Nathan Poulton.
It's so long, the music has stopped.
The music already ended.
Chris Ross and Rory in Michigan, Michael Flournoy.
Jeremy Kitchen, David Valais, Tim Coleman.
Mr. T, Harry Hugel, Ed Whitman.
Hugel, EJ Finner.
Easy for you to say.
EJ Finneran. Paul Culbertson, should be
anymore.
Your real name, and Subvert.
All right.
And thanks to all of our former donors who helped us get this far.
We do appreciate this far past the credits.
Yes, and thank you to whoever's still listening.
That's right. So now is the time to brush your teeth.
And go to bed.
Usually there's music.
Yay!
Usually we have two screens.
That was long credits.
You don't have to say that. But thank you for saying
it. It was good.